In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, we have these words: "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Now this text is both an easy text to preach and a hard text to preach. It's easy because I could make a safe bet that you understand a big component of this text already. Let me demonstrate that to you. Contemporary culture tells you, if you ask about religion, that you can believe whatever you want. It says you can believe and be an atheist if you want to. And it says you can hedge your bets and be an agnostic. It says you can worship as many gods as you want, just as you choose. If you ask contemporary culture about morality, we live in a permissive society. It tells us that you can do whatever you want, as long as it feels good, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else too much. We ask our culture about the idea of absolutes. It tells us there's no absolutes. You can't be objective. Only the subjective matters. Whatever matters to you, whatever you choose, that's the way it can be. You choose whichever way you want to, whatever path you want to walk through life. Everyone understands that way of living. It's the society in which we live. And the Bible as well recognizes this broad road approach to life. It's easy to explain this to you because if you've come from outside, you've never been in a church before, that is almost certainly how you live. You believe and you do whatever you want to. You choose how to live your life. But it's also true even within the church, often enough. There's many voices that will tell you that you can be a Christian without being too dogmatic about what you believe and how you live. There are people within the church who say you can be a Christian and have an easy ride through life. Come to Jesus and he'll make you rich. He'll make you healthy. He'll make you successful. There are people within the church now who will tell us that the old Christianity, that was too narrow. That we need to relax a little bit more. Don't be quite so legalistic. So specific about the teaching of the Bible. And so whether you are from inside the church or outside the church, you know and understand the broad way from personal experience. That's the way you live. You see, the anthem of people walking along the broad way is to do it my way. Every man does what is right in his own eyes. Everyone who's traveling on this path has that one thing in common. They choose the route themselves. And some people choose a religious route. Some people choose a non-religious route. But they're all choosing their own way. It's a very, very wide path. You can have almost any lifestyle you want to and walk along this broad path. It's also the default pathway. It's the pathway that you're on, as it were, automatically. It's like at the beginning of your life, you put on a conveyor belt and it just carries you along. And you're on that conveyor belt until someone pushes stop and takes you off. You're on the broad road until a time comes that you deliberately and very definitely get off it. It's the default path. The broad way as well is a relatively easy path. Life brings challenges to everyone. I understand that. But it's easy in the sense that you choose your own way without ever needing to change fundamentally. You can be whoever you are And whatever you want to be, you don't have to change. You don't have to think about God and whether he has any demands on your life. You don't have to listen to your conscience too much, as long as you're not hurting other people. And you will usually have plenty of company, because everyone else is on the broad path by default as well. So that's the easy part. The easy part of preaching this text. There is a broad way. And I don't need to explain it to you because you've all lived on it. You've all know it from personal experience. You could write the Lonely Planet Guide to the broad path. And you've already been there. But that brings us to the hard part. The difficult part of preaching this text. Because we have to think about the destination. We have to think about where the road takes you. That's just common sense, isn't it? If you want to get to Carnarvon from Newport, you don't drive south. You choose your road by the destination, by the place you want to get to. You may know the poem, "The Road Not Taken." It's got the famous line in it. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less travelled. It's a mockery of indecision. A man standing there, choosing his route through life, just arbitrarily. A complete haphazard decision, with no thought of where the road might take him. That's not a wise approach in any of life's major decisions. In every decision that you would take, you want to know where it will take you to. If you go to university, you want to know your job prospects at the end. You don't want to study a degree in surfing and not have a job at the end. You want a job, you want to take a route that is going to open up a career for you, a good income and a future. In every major decision, now we think about the destination first, and then we plan the route. Now the world that tells us we can live however we want, choose your own path, do it your way, well, they don't know where that leads to. They say, well, I can choose my own religion, yeah. I can choose my own morality, yeah. Okay, so where does that take me? And they say, we don't know. Oh, one day you'll die. That's the end of the journey through life. You'll die, and we don't know what happens then. Maybe annihilation. It may be oblivion, but to be honest, we don't know where that road will take you. The afterlife is the great unknown. And so you listen to the world, the media, even the government, celebrities, and they tell you this is the way to live, but they can't tell you where it's taking you. Well, the Bible states it plainly, because the great unknown is not unknown to God. God knows exactly what happens after a human being dies. And Jesus tells us in this text that the broad road leads to destruction. This wide road, this road that you can choose your own way of walking, it leads to destruction. But what is that destruction? What is this destination? Well, we could skim through Matthew's gospel here because Jesus has a lot to say about destruction. Later on in chapter 7, in verses 21 to 23, he talks about these people who've been claiming to do miracles and to speak words from God without ever knowing Jesus. And he says that when they come to him, he's going to declare, I never knew you. And he's going to tell them to depart from him. So this destruction is an exclusion from Jesus Christ. It's being told to depart from any hope of heaven, from any hope of being with God for eternity. But Jesus uses other ways to describe this destruction. Further on in chapter 13, of Matthew's Gospel. And verse 30, he uses the idea of weeds, sinful people being compared to weeds that are gathered up and burned on a huge bonfire. Later in the same chapter, he uses the same image of a fiery furnace, a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's an eternal fire, we're told in chapter 18 and verses 7 through 9. It's better for you to enter life maimed than to be thrown into the hell of fire for eternity. It's an eternal fire then. It's also, according to Jesus, a place of utter darkness and eternal suffering. Chapter 22 and verse 13, it describes it as people being bound up hand and foot and cast into outer darkness, where again there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Finally, in chapter 25 and verses 41 to 46, Jesus talks about this destruction as the eternal punishment. Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. It is to share the eternal curse, the eternal destiny of Satan himself and all his demons. Jesus also compares it to Old Testament judgments. In chapter 10, he compares it to Sodom and Gomorrah, those sinful towns that God obliterated with fire and brimstone. In chapter 24, he compares the destruction to Noah's flood, where every living thing on the planet was washed away. And so what is this destruction? It's a real eternal punishment. It's an agony, a suffering that goes on and on, a burning. It's to be cursed like the devil. It's to be in the most incredible darkness that is beyond imagination. And that's the destination. That's where the broad path takes people. Why does the broad way lead to destruction? Why can't we just choose our own way? Well, this is the problem. When you live however you choose, when you make yourself your own little god, a master of your own destiny, well, that is rebellion. It's treason. It's mutiny against God. God made you. God gave you life. God has a purpose for you. He designed you. He sustains you. The very breath you breathe is a gift from God. The Bible tells us that we're accountable to him. It's appointed for men once to die and then judgment. It tells us that living our own way, choosing our own path, we've fallen short of the glory of God. And the punishment, the wages for that sin is death. So that's the difficult part of this text. That's the hard part to preach to you. The easy part was the bit you understand, the path you've been walking on. The hard part is to tell you where it goes, the destination. But this is the point. I'm not telling you about hell in order to paralyze you with fear. I don't want you to be sitting there like rabbits, seeing the headlights come in and unable to move. I'm telling you about hell so you can make evasive action. So you can get out the way, because I've got a good part to tell you now. That there's an alternative path. There's a different route through life. There's a different way you can go. And it doesn't lead to destruction. There's another path with an alternative destination. And that's why I'm warning you. I don't want you to miss the path. But I got to tell you before we go any further that this alternative path is a hard path. There's nothing easy about it. There's nothing easy at all. But then, would you run to an electric chair just because the path was smooth? You wouldn't, would you? And would you avoid winning a prize, winning an Olympic medal, because running a marathon is hard? No, you don't choose where you go by the whether it's easy or hard. You choose it by the prize you want to win, by the destination you want to get to. So I'm telling you about an alternative path with an alternative destination. But I've got to say, it's hard to start. Jesus describes it as a narrow gate in verse 14. It's a narrow gate and it's difficult to find. It's hard to get into. Oh, well, why is that? To enter the narrow gate means to come to Jesus. To come to Jesus as a broken and humbled sinner. It means acknowledging that my way is actually the wrong way. It means accepting God's judgment, that I deserve this eternal punishment. It means casting myself completely on Him, asking for mercy and forgiveness, because there's nothing I can do to change, to save myself. It means submitting your life completely to His rule, to His authority, determining to break from sin, setting your heart on being holy, because God is holy. Well, you say, well, why is that hard? Try it. Sit there right now and try and humble your proud heart. The proud heart that has been shaking its fist at God and saying, I'll do it my way. I don't need you. Just try and humble that proud heart in order to acknowledge your depravity. In order to cry out to God in need. In order to accept God's kindness. You've been opposing God so long. You won't be able to do it. Is it possible at all? Well, the gate is so low. It's as though the only way you can get through is lying flat on your face, your nose in the dirt, and Jesus pulling you through from the other side. Is it possible at all? Not for sinful human beings. There's no way on earth that you can humble your proud heart, your sinful heart, enough to get through this narrow gate. There's another part of Matthew's gospel where this rich man is told that he needs to stop being greedy if he wants to be in Jesus' kingdom. And Jesus said it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for that man to be saved. And the disciples said, well, who can be saved? And Jesus said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You see, Jesus Christ saw us in our need. Jesus Christ saw us walking on that broad path. He saw the destination. He saw that we were oblivious to it. That we didn't know where we were going. And He came to earth. And He lived without sin. And He died to take other people's destruction. He suffered other people's hell. And then He rose from the dead. And He's sitting on the throne of heaven tonight. And He has all power and all authority. And He's got the divine authority to give salvation to anyone He chooses. Jesus can come to you tonight and give you a pass for that narrow gate. He can give you the ticket that lets you through that narrow turnstile. And not only that, He sent His Holy Spirit into the world. His Holy Spirit comes to us and turns our sinful heart and humbles our hearts and helps us to confess our sin and to trust in Jesus and brings us over onto that narrow path. So it's hard to start. In fact, it's impossible. But the Lord Jesus Christ can do it. With Him, it is possible. But it's not just hard to start. It's hard all the way. Jesus doesn't promise health and wealth or success. Jesus promises suffering and persecution. The gate is narrow and the way is hard. It's hard right from the start, all the way to the end. It's a difficult path. And it's difficult because it requires a daily crucifixion. It means that every single day we're to be willing to die to our own agenda so that the Lord Jesus can be our all in all. What does it look like? Well, it looks like this. It looks like being committed to Jesus' church, to worship with his people, to meet with them weekly for prayer. It looks like a fight against temptation. The devil doesn't want to let you go. The devil wants you to stay on the broad path. And so he'll oppose you every single way. He'll try and trip you up. He'll try and tempt you back to take an easier route. It means putting God's cause before our own need. So that before, my motto was, I'll do it my way. And now my motto is, I seek first God's kingdom. You see, it's impossible to start. And it's also impossible to carry on. And one of the commentators put it like this. The very first step involves a revolution in our whole purpose and plan for life. And a surrender of all that is dear to natural inclination. That's why it's hard to start. Why is it hard to carry on? All that follows is but a repetition of the first great act of self-sacrifice. It means living for Jesus from now on. And we don't find that in us naturally. Again, we need the ongoing grace, the ongoing help of the Holy Spirit. But there's another reason why it's hard. And that's because it's humanly lonely. Jesus says there's few who find this path. Well, why do so few find it? Well, many people aren't looking for it. They're quite happy wandering along, not knowing where they're going. Some people see it, but they say, that's not attractive to my pride. I like doing it my way. Some people see the gate, but they want an easy path now. They're not thinking of eternity. They want an easy ride through life. Other people try and get in through the gate in their own strength. They're not willing to ask Jesus' help. It goes against the flow completely. To go through the gate, you have to go through on your own. And often you find your family and your friends, they won't come with you. You might even need to break away from acquaintances who led you into sin. Relationships that were ungodly. Those people who keep calling you back to the broad way. You might have to break from them in order to get through that gate. And so it's lonely. It's humanly lonely to be on that path. But I stress, it's only humanly lonely. Because once again, we have the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll walk with you along that difficult path. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll protect you. I'll strengthen you when you're weak. I'll comfort you when you're hurting. I'll help you when you're struggling. I'll preserve you when everything is against you. You see, it's a miracle that anyone finds the gate. It's a miracle that anyone gets in the gate. It's a miracle that anyone walks that path all the days of their life. And that means that the Christian life is a miracle from start to finish. Christians are supernatural beings. They don't need to heal people and all this stuff to be supernatural. They are supernatural. It requires all of God's grace and power to keep a Christian on the narrow way. A Christian is a living miracle. A day by day, second by second, supernatural phenomena. It's only made possible by the Lord Jesus Christ walking with you. So there's this alternative path. But what about the alternative destination? Well, the narrow gate, the hard way, leads to life, not to destruction. In fact, it's the opposite of hell, the opposite of destruction. Can I just read you a few verses from Revelation that talk about the life that Jesus offers here? Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Whereas hell was separation from Jesus, this is to be with God forever. Where hell was crying out and weeping for eternity, this is having every tear wiped away, no more mourning. Where hell was to be in outer darkness, this life is to be in the very light of God. So you don't even need a sun, because God is so real and so present. All that destruction was are so terrible. But look at this life. It's real. It's eternal blessing. It's living. It's relief. It's healing. And let me ask you this. Offering you such a destination, what hardship counts against such a reward? What suffering in the here and now would make you choose a different path? Wouldn't you give everything you possibly could to get to that destination? Wouldn't you choose that path, even though it is so hard? So there's this broad road, and you've lived on it, and it leads to destruction. But there's another path. It's a difficult path, but it takes you to eternal life. Now, I've got two final warnings. They're in the scripture here. The first is that there are false prophets in the world. They'll tell you that this isn't true. They'll promise you a Christianity with an easier ride. Stay on the broad way. Jesus warns you against people like that. But there's another warning in the text here. There's people who think they know Jesus, but they're false Christians. There's never been a real change. And so Jesus impresses upon us here the need to really enter by the narrow gate. Not to just loiter by the gate. Not to just try the handle and sit around and think, maybe I'll go in tomorrow. But to actually enter, not to stay outside and look like Christians, but to really go in. In Luke's gospel, they put it like this: strive to enter everything you've got to get in through that gate, because it is your only hope of avoiding that eternal destruction and entering that eternal life. It's to strive, whatever it would cost. Everything that you can do to seek, to plead with God, to not give up until you know that you've entered in and that you're on the right path now and that he's walking with you. Will you determine to pursue Jesus Christ tonight? To give everything you can and to not give up until you know that he's laid hold of you, that he's brought you through the gate, that you're on that road that leads to life. Would you cry out to him tonight and ask him to save you, to confess to him that you're on that broad path? Would you cry out to him tonight and ask him for all the grace you need to stay on the path, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to pursue the race, to finish the race, to look at the goal line and ignore the hardship and pursue. There's two roads. One goes to destruction. The other goes to life. There's all kinds of dangers and hardship. But this is the point. Strive to enter. Make sure you get in. There's few who find it. Make sure you're one of them. It's so hard to get in that gate. Make sure you throw off every hindrance. Come to Jesus tonight. He can bring you through. He can lead you safe home. Enter that gate. Don't let off until you've got in and you know you're on the right path. Amen.